Prayer is the way by which God helps us overcome our anxiety and worry. And life is full of worry, isn't it? There's health troubles, there's family troubles, there are financial troubles. But it's been said if your knees are shaking, kneel on them.
Prayer can chase our worries away, and vice versa. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us control the chase.
So, you know, in the middle of the night when those worries come in like flaming arrows, right there, turn your worries into prayers.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Some of us are major league worriers and minor league prayers. Today, we'll help you change leagues. Pastor Greg Laurie is presenting a series called What Every Growing Christian Needs to Know. And today, we're focusing on prayer. Glad you're along here on A New Beginning as we investigate the proper role of prayer in a healthy believer's life. We'll see God even provides a model for effective prayer. And to neglect the privilege of prayer is to rob ourselves of His power and peace.
So let's review what we've learned, and then we'll pick up. If you want to be a growing Christian, you must have a prayer life. Ephesians 6:18 says we should pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Notice it says, pray always with all prayer. You can pray in any position, at any time, anywhere. The main thing is pray. Okay, so let's answer question number one. Why should I pray? Why should I pray? Simple answer. Because Jesus told you to. You really don't need any more answer than that, but I'll give you a few more reasons. But Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not give up. And by the way, Christ himself was a model of prayer. He was always praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. As he's contemplating the horrors of the cross, he's praying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. On the cross, he's praying for his enemies, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, we read in John chapter 11, he looked up to heaven and prayed, Father, thank you that you hear me. And then he shouted, Lazarus, come forth. Before Jesus fed the 5,000, we read he looked up to heaven and asked God's blessing on the food. Mothers would bring their children to Jesus so he would lay his hands on them and pray for them. Now listen, if Jesus felt the need to pray, how much more should we feel it? Point number two, we should pray because prayer is God's appointed way for obtaining things. That's right. Prayer is God's appointed way for obtaining things. That is not the only purpose of prayer. That's not the only reason we should pray. But having said that, the Bible does say in James 4:2, you have not because you what? Ask not. See, if you don't ask God for it, there may be times in your life when you don't have what you need. Did it ever occur to you that you have this sickness? And you've never actually asked the Lord to heal you? No, I think you know that I don't believe God heals everybody. But at the same time, he does heal some. And it's possible you could be ill and you continue to be ill and you've never actually prayed and said, Lord, would you heal me of this? You might have financial challenges and you don't know why the bills are always unpaid and you don't know why you're always struggling. Question, have you prayed about it? Have you said, Lord, would you provide for me right now? Could it be that you have not because you ask not? Or maybe you find that you never have the opportunity to lead others to Christ. Those doors never open up for you. Here's a thought. Could it be that you have not because you ask not? Prayer is the way that we obtain things from God. We always say, Lord, if this is not your will, don't give this thing to me. But if it is, please do. Because the Bible promises that my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say he'll supply all of my greeds, but it says he'll supply all of my needs. So that's how we obtain things from God. Here's another one. Prayer is the way by which God helps us to overcome our anxiety and worry. Prayer is the way by which God helps us overcome our anxiety and worry. And life is full of worry, isn't it? I mean, I could talk for 25 minutes about all the things going on in our crazy world. You know, all the threats that we face and the dangers we face. But how about just your life? Just your own personal challenges. Life is full of troubles. There's health troubles. There's family troubles. There are financial troubles. But it's been said, if your knees are shaking, kneel on them. So here's what the Bible says about that. Philippians 4:6, these are verses every believer should commit to memory. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And it goes on to say, and if you do this, the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. How many of you ever worry? You worry, okay, you know, I worry too. And worry is not a virtue, by the way. Sometimes we may think it is. I heard about a guy that was a real worrywart, always worrying, worrying. And finally, he just stopped. And one of his friends said, yeah, I notice you don't worry anymore. The guy says, I don't worry anymore. His friend said, what's your secret? The guy says, I hired someone to worry for me. Really? How'd you find a guy like that? Took an ad out in the paper. Wanted someone to worry for me. What do you pay a guy to do that? I pay him $5,000 a day. Wow, that's a lot of money. You don't have that kind of money. How are you going to pay him? He says, that's for him to worry about. Well, if that doesn't work, try praying instead. It says, if you will pray about it instead of worrying about it, God's peace will keep your heart and mind. And the word there for keep means to protect or to mount a guard. And the wording that Paul uses sort of describes a Roman sentry, like a Roman guard guarding the room, guarding the heart. Paul says, if you pray about it instead of worrying about it, God will put a guard around your heart, and your heart will have peace. So, you know, in the middle of the night when those worries come in like flaming arrows, right there, here's what you do. Lord, I give every one of these to you. Turn your worries into prayers, because that's how God helps us overcome our anxiety and worry. Also, prayer is one of the ways in which we make ourselves ready for the return of Christ. Prayer is one of the ways by which we make ourselves ready for the return of Christ. Luke 21, Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so the day of the Lord comes upon you unexpectedly. Watch therefore and pray always that you'll be worthy to escape these things. Speaking of his coming, Jesus said in Mark 13, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, therefore, and watch and pray, for you don't know when the hour is. So prayer is not an option for the believer. We need direction in life. You all have heard of Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra. And Yogi was known for his amazing statements. It was Yogi that coined the phrase, it ain't over till it's over. And sometimes the things he said seemed to contradict themselves, but they were really quite clever. One of the Yogi Berra statements was, quote, if you don't know where you're going, you might wind up someplace else. I love that. But, you know, there's some truth there. If you don't know where you're going, you might wind up someplace else. Yeah, that's true. So we need direction from God, don't we? We need to pray for his will to be revealed to us. Here's a way to sort of sum it up. When you pray about something, God may say no. Consider this. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right and the timing is right and you are right, God says, go.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. We are continually amazed at how God takes these studies around the world, from Riverside, California, to the desert of Saudi Arabia, from Alaska to Australia. Listen to this.
Hello, Pastor Greg. I wanted to say thank you for your amazing sermons on A New Beginning Radio on the iPhone app, as it has helped me during extremely dark times in 2015 and in the past. I lost my only sibling a few years ago to suicide. It was heartbreaking for me. And there have been many other traumas in my life as well. Your sermons on the app and YouTube kept me strong during my bout of severe depression, anxiety, and PTSD. In fact, it helped me recover and it saved my life. My relationship with God is now strong because of you. I read the Bible daily and pray a lot. I'm currently studying Christian counseling and family therapy and believe God has blessed me to be able to help hurting people and hurting families. My mother and I listen to your talks daily, and it has helped my mother grow deeply in her faith too. I appreciate all you do and thank God for you and your awesome ministry. Thank you, times a million.
How has Pastor Greg's teaching of God's Word touched your life or that of your family? Would you let us know? Why not make a call to our comment line and tell us your story? Dial 866-871-1144. It's not for resource requests, just to record a comment. Again, 866-871-1144. Well, today, Pastor Greg is presenting a message called The Importance of Prayer in the Life of the Believer, available at harvest.org. Pastor Greg continues now.
So are there secrets to answered prayer? Well, yes and no. I mean, if you think this book is a secret, maybe there are. If you've never opened the user's manual of life, then I guess it's a secret. But the fact is, God has proclaimed very clearly in Scripture how to have our prayers answered in the affirmative. He gives us principles to follow. And probably the greatest example of that is a template he gave that we call the Lord's Prayer. And that is not like the prayer to pull out in case of emergency, though there's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer, but it's more than that. The Lord's Prayer is not just a prayer to pray. It is a template for prayer. It is a model for prayer. Again, remember, Jesus gave this prayer in response to the request of his disciples who said, you know what John taught his disciples to pray? Lord, teach us to pray. So he gave them this prayer. And it's Luke chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1 to 4. Now, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So here we have principle number one. If you want your prayers answered in the affirmative, you must pray according to the will of God. If you want your prayers answered in the affirmative, in other words, if you want God to say yes to you when you pray, pray according to the will of God. Jesus modeled this for us when he taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now some would teach something contrary to this. They would say when you pray, you tell God what you want and you ask it by faith and you don't doubt it and you speak it into existence because your faith is a force and you harness the force of faith and you pray this boldly to God. I even heard one teacher say, don't ever pray, not my will, but yours be done. Okay, whatever. You're wrong if you hold that view. I'm going to go with Jesus on this one, if you don't mind. In fact, I think I'm going to go with Jesus on all of it. And Jesus, God in human form, taught me to pray, My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's what I've learned about myself. I don't always know what's right. Big revelation. Sometimes I think I do. But a lot of times I have it all wrong. So I am so glad that my Father, who knows all things and has my best interests at heart, will sometimes overrule my prayers for my own good. Lord, I want this. The Lord says, no, no, that's not what you want, Greg. Your brain is the size of a little grain of sand, okay? I'm going to do this for you instead. You'll thank me later. Trust me. And I do. Never be afraid to ask God to overrule your prayer if it happens to be outside of his will. You know, sometimes God answers our prayer differently than we thought he would. Heard about three men who were going through a forest, and they came to a large, raging, violent, rushing river. They wanted to get to the other side, so they decided to pray. And the first guy prayed for strength to cross the river. Suddenly, boom, boom, his arms were big and muscular, and his legs too, and he swam across the river. He almost drowned. It took him about 2 hours, but he barely made it, but he got to the other side. Second guy, he sees what happens. So the first guy, he prays, he says, all right, Lord, I pray for the strength and the tools to cross the river. He too has strong muscular arms and legs, but God gives to him a boat and a paddle and takes him about an hour to get across. He capsized twice, but he made it. Third guy's watching this. He says, Lord, I pray you give me the strength and the tools, but most of all, the intelligence to cross the river. Poof! He turned into a woman. She looked at the map, hiked upstream 100 yards, and walked across the bridge. Aren't you girls glad you came to church tonight? So you see, here's the objective of prayer. The objective of prayer is not to get God to do what I want him to do. God, I love you. I have a wonderful plan for your life. Come over here. You know, sometimes my grandkids want to take me places. They're, you know, like Christopher, he's a little guy. He'll grab my hand. He's pulling me. I'm like this, you know. And he takes me upstairs because he wants me to play with the train or he wants me to do something else. You know, he has this little plan. And that's what we're like. God, come on, come on, God. Come on. This is what I want. Here's what we're going to do. But look, that's not the objective of prayer. The objective of prayer is saying, Lord, where are you going? Because I want to go there too. What do you think about this? Because I want to think that too. What is your will on this? Because I want that to be my will too. And so I want to get in alignment with God. And when I find God's will and I start praying accordingly, I will start seeing my prayers answered in the affirmative. The problem is I'm often out of God's will and sometimes even praying prayers that are contrary to his will. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us and we have the petitions desired of him. Listen to this. Nothing lies outside of the reach of prayer except that which lies outside of the will of God. God will only answer the request that he inspires. You see, prayer is surrender. It's surrender to the will of God. And it's cooperation with that will. You say, well, I don't know. That's kind of a drag. Why even pray? Because God wants you to be a part of the process. So here's how it works. God puts a burden on your heart. Maybe it's for a loved one. Maybe it's to pray for the salvation of someone. Maybe it's to pray for some other thing. But he puts this burden on your heart. And you pray. And then you see God do the impossible and answer that prayer. And you say, man, I'm a powerful man of prayer. No, you're just, you serve a powerful God and you got in sync with him, that's all. So we need to be praying.
Pastor Greg Laurie with practical encouragement about the powerful privilege of praying to our powerful God. Glad you've joined us today here on A New Beginning. As you study along with Pastor Greg each day, would it help to have a copy of his study notes in front of you? It does for many of our listeners. He'll send them to you for each day's broadcast, and they're free of charge. To sign up for Greg's notes, go to radio.harvest.org and click on Connect with Greg. You know, Pastor Greg, parents who have prodigal children are often pretty hard on themselves.
Right.
They think, if I could have just been a better parent. Mm. And yet there are many Christian households with very strong mothers and fathers who walk very closely with the Lord and do have prodigal children. In fact, we look in the Bible and God himself had prodigal children in the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
What would be your message to the parent who's really beating himself up that his child has walked away from the Lord?
Well, as you already pointed out, if we were going to say that every parent who had a prodigal was a failure, then God is a failure because he has prodigals. So it's not necessarily the fault of the parent. Sometimes children just rebel against what is true, but we should never give up on them. However, let me also add, it is possible that the parent has not been the best example. They have not lived as a Christian ought to live. And if that is the case, you should actually admit that to the child who has walked away and say, you know, I have not always been the example I ought to be, but I want you to know that the most important thing to me is having a relationship with God. But here's the thing. If a child has gone astray, don't give up on them. In the story of the prodigal son, as we call it in the New Testament, we have a story of a father with two sons, and one of them went astray. And we saw that the father gave him his portion of the inheritance and let the boy go, which surprises some because you'd think the father would just say, no, son, you're going to go blow your money. But you know what? In the same way, God gives to us a free will. He won't force us to stay in the home, if you will. He won't force us to stay in the church. We can go astray. But of course, everyone knows how that story turned out. The boy wasted all of his money. He wasted his life. And ultimately, he came to a senses and he came back home. But here's something to never forget. That boy knew his father loved him. That boy knew he could come home again. He even knew that people that just worked for his dad had it better off than him. And this is the thing we must always remember. If our kids go astray, never cut off communication with them. Always let them know you love them and they're welcome if they will come back home again. And that, of course, is true of God as well. If we've walked away from God, or even in some cases like Jonah, run away from God, know this, God loves us and calls us back home again. So that's actually the book we're offering this month. It's called Come Home, A Call Back to Faith by my good friend, James McDonald. And, you know, James knows what he's talking about, Dave, because his own daughter, Abby, strayed from the faith for a time. And in fact, she wrote the foreword to this very book. And it's a very biblical book, a practical book, an honest book, and I believe a helpful book that will help you reaching anyone who has walked away from their faith.
All right. Well, we know someone listening is going through that pain right this very moment. It wakes them up in the middle of the night and they're searching for help. Well, you'll find it in Come Home. And we'll send it to you to say thank you for sending a donation right now that we can put to work in bringing you these daily broadcasts. You know, we don't have any large churches or organizations covering all the costs. It's just the donations of listeners that allow us to meet the expenses of bringing you these studies. So thank you for your contribution. And we'll be glad to show our appreciation with James McDonald's book, Come Home. Just write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Next time, in honor of the National Day of Prayer, we feature a special message Pastor Greg presented last year to some honored guests during the National Day of Prayer. Be sure to tune in. And just before we go, we hope you're signed up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions. They're a great resource to help you start your day. If you are signed up for the devotions, you can easily opt in to a drawing to win a 7-day Caribbean Christian cruise with Pastor Greg and singer Matthew West in October. The next drawing will be held Monday, September 5th. Make sure your whole family signs up for the free daily email devotions for extra chances to win the drawing. Just go to devo.harvest.org. And, of course, all the things you have to say about a contest. No purchase necessary to win. Void where prohibited by law. Sweepstakes begin February 15th and end September 4th. Eligibility restrictions apply. For all the official rules, terms, and conditions, go to devorules.harvest.org. Bottom line, the devotions are a great spiritual help. And the contest adds a little fun to the mix.